Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome once again to our show, Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We are ecstatic tonight that you have joined us right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Church with none other than my apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen, who is going to bring a powerful word on this evening. So I just want you to prepare your hearts and your minds to receive of him and hear what the Master has to say unto you. Our prayer here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is that God will begin to birth in you a new assignment, that his anointing will fall fresh on you, that whatever you have been asking God for, that you shall receive it, amen, that you would walk more in your calling, your gifting, and that you will fulfill his kingdom assignment on your life. Amen and glory to God. But before we get into the message on this evening, let me do the announcements really quick. Let you know more about us and our website, your prayer, and then following, that voice following, you will hear will be none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen? Amen. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., is Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. On Saturdays at 9:30 a.m., join us for Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, 9:30 on Saturday and 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's 9:30 on Saturdays and 8:30. Amen. On Sunday morning, amen, you can see our services live and hear us live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website, and we do invite you to our website, amen, to learn more about this ministry, learn more about Pastor and myself, and even pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We do look forward to hearing from you. Amen? Glory to God. If any of you would like information concerning the church, if you want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at your church while you're on our website, once again, that's www.ctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us tab that's located at the top of the page. Amen. Follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements. Oh, before I forget, I want to let you know we do have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find us under WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. We would love to hear from you. and let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the announcements, people of God. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. And then the next voice you will hear will be none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the precious, mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we come before you, first of all, God, giving you thanks, giving you praise, giving you honor, and most of all, giving you all the glory. Father, as we come into your presence, we humble ourselves at your feet. We're saying, have your way in our lives, God. We lay aside every weight. We lay aside the day that we have had. We just come humbly, God, at the throne of grace this evening. We ask for forgiveness for all sins of omission and commission in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for that you would wash us in your blood, the precious blood of Jesus, and wash us in the word on tonight. Lord, we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from you today. God, we're even asking that your presence would rest, that the kabod, the weight of your glory would abide in this place. In Jesus' name, even now, Father, as the man of God comes, as the apostle comes, give him wisdom, give him knowledge as he brings forth the word. Father, let it be a word that's going to bring healing to someone's soul. Let it be a word that's going to bring deliverance. Let it be a word of direction. Whatever your people have been asking for, Father, we know that the answers could only be found in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, as we decrease, we ask that you would increase in us. Father, we ask that this word will come forth in power and in anointing. Thank you, and we praise you for all that you have done and for what you're getting ready to do in the lives of your people. We give you glory, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, people of God, now let us come together to receive none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, with the word of the Lord. Let us receive him. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. So grateful that you have joined us today. We know that God is blessing and continuing to bless us. Amen, amen. We are excited about what God has done for us. And we know that God is going to continue to bless us, amen, over and over again, amen, amen. This evening, we want to get into looking at what God is saying to us, and what God is speaking to us, amen,
amen,
amen. And as God is talking to us and God is speaking to us, He's always letting us know that if this day, this time, this season, amen, amen, that he has called us into. Now, let me just share with you a few things. First of all, it is God's will for us to live the kingdom lifestyle. And, of course, as this is our the name of the actual broadcast for tonight, living a kingdom lifestyle is more, amen, if you will, than just claiming a kingdom name. It is more than just saying that what I'm doing in my life is kingdom. It is more than that. It brings us down to the responsibility to demonstrate this lifestyle that we've been called into that is called Christianity, amen. We are known as Christians, amen, and that is because we bear the name of Christ. Not only that, number two, is that we also live a life that demonstrates the qualities or the discipline of Christ. Amen. So as we begin to look at this and understand it, then we see that there are certain things that we have to learn how to do. And sometimes we have to learn how to do them again. Amen. that the enemy would love to have you forget that it is God's will for you to live this lifestyle. They made it all about materialistic gain, but it's never been about materialistic gain. It's always been about you achieving more growth, amen, having more from God, amen. When it comes down to, as it relates to your life, amen, and your quality of life, amen. So we have to understand that God called us to that, and that is what God is looking for from us, amen, amen. Now, let's get into this word here for today, amen. We're dealing with probably this broadcast, and we'll conclude it for sure on that today. Amen. But what we're looking at is the scripture as it relates to we are being built. Amen. The Lord is building us. Amen. And one of the things that the enemy likes to do is he likes to try to bring in as much as he can foreign matter into the build. Why would you say that, Apostle? Because a lot of times he brings in things that mean absolutely nothing that will, instead of make the build better, it will actually bring contaminants. Amen, into the build, into the process. And those are the things that we have to work on getting out of the build after we have started. Amen. You don't want your mix to be off on your concrete, if you will. Amen. When you start pouring concrete and you find out that it has too much of something in, too much liquid, or too much of that, or whatever it is, those things will cause that concrete not to be as integral as it needs to be. The strength in that concrete won't be there because the mix is wrong. Amen? And you can't afford to find out that the thing that is holding you up and bearing you up is faulty. Amen? In its creation, in the way that it was created, amen? So a lot of times we have to look and we have to understand that this is what God is doing. He's saying to us, we have to be able to go and keep this integral. God is trying to build us, and in building us, there are some things that have happened and will happen. Now, we've gone again from the tabernacle, and we've gone into the temple, and then we've gone into the second temple. We hit on that, amen. And now we are at, we went through Jesus Christ, amen, and him being preparing for himself a body. And let me just say it like this. I told you before, God is meticulous in everything that he does, and he is. God is so meticulous that he left nothing to chance. Amen. We talked about it before that he made sure that through 42 generations that everything concerning him would be spoken and everything would be fulfilled. Jesus Christ then coming at the end of that is the birth and the manifestation of the prophecy, the word of God, amen, if you will, that was spoken of in the Old Testament. Jesus came in the volume of the book, amen. Understand, the volume of the book means the fullness of it, amen. And we can't look at it and think for 1 minute that this was about who liked him and who didn't like him and how they liked him and how they didn't like him, amen. It wasn't about that at all, amen. It was about how God could prepare a vessel to redeem man. And understand also that Satan never wanted you to have salvation. He was put out from the very beginning because his character was wrong. He was one who wanted to destroy, amen, huh? He wanted to tear down. He did not want for one moment for you to have, if you will, salvation, because he is a third of heaven. The heavenly host had messed up before. And he don't want you making it in when he is not given another chance. Amen. So he's done everything he can, amen, to tear you up and keep you from being able to go forward. But Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Amen. And being the second Adam, then that means that he has had the opportunity, if you will, to redeem us from the mistake of the first Adam. Amen. And I'm so glad that he did. Amen. You need to be glad that he did as well. Where the first Adam failed to redeem Eve, the second Adam redeemed all of mankind. Thank you, Jesus, for your work and for what you've done. Amen. Amen. There we are. There we are. Now I can do what I need to do. Amen. So now, when we talked about Jesus and how he came and how he set a body for himself and what he did. So now the next part of this is God in us. We are the residents of God. God is in the people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Let's go over there a little bit. Amen. It's wonderful when technology works with you, and it's another thing when you got to work technology. Amen. Amen. But I think we'll be okay here. Amen. If we went back to the 14th verse, reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple," listen to that, huh? Listen to it now, "of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Amen? Huh? Huh? "So therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean." You know what? We can right there. We have an issue with people just want to be close enough to the mess while claiming that they have nothing to do with anything. Amen? That ain't me. That's them. That ain't me. But you're right there. Amen? Right in the middle of it. How can it not splatter on you? How can it not just the sense of it be on your clothes? You know, I didn't have to necessarily smoke a cigarette. If I walked through a cloud of people who were smoking on the other side, I smelled like cigarettes. Amen? So vicariously, just by you being around and hanging around stuff like that, you qualify yourself to be part of it. And some people are trying to be just as close as they can to the world while still trying to claim their Christianity. Brothers, sisters, we can't do that. We need to come out from among them. That's why it says that. And be separate, huh? Says the Lord. "Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Now, that "and I will receive you" lets you know why your prayers ain't going nowhere. Lord help us. You pray hard. You fasted. You have set a new record for fasting because everybody else been going 21 days and 40 days. Some people got bolder and went a Pentecostal fast, and went 50 days, woo, for total deliverance and relief from all my, guess what, after all is said and done, you have set a new record. You went 120 days, one for each of the 120 elders that's laying before. Listen, if you still hanging around and doing some of the old stuff that you did before, Baby, I hope you enjoy your new frame and your new body, because you're going to be thin, but you're still just as filthy as you were before you turned your plate down. Fasting and prayer, you have to focus on yourself. You have to focus on the fast. You have to focus on the goal, amen? And too many times people are just turning the plate down. Well, I fasted today, but you cussed everybody out. You was fasting on the way to church. Somebody pulled into the parking spot that you thought was supposed to be yours, and you've been mean mugging them all throughout praise and worship. But you've been fasting. God's going to bless you, huh? Baby, go over there and sit down somewhere, amen? Better yet, come on down to the altar. The Bible says if you have aught with your brother, leave your arms at the altar and go get it right. Some of y'all need to come to the altar with the arms and with the person that you got a problem with, because they're sitting in the same house as you.
Come on now.
Lord Jesus, I wish I had time to preach on that. So it is then that we are to come out from amongst them and be separate. Amen. The Bible goes on to say, and I will receive you. Amen. You notice that I will receive you says that prior to you coming out, your reception was not assured. Huh? I know that's common sense, but let me say it like this. And when you think that your lifestyle and everything that you have done, because you saved and you gave the preacher your hand and you giving your offering and you serving and you made the best chicken for my macaroni and cheese, everybody wants that, and I throw in my sweet potato pies, amen, and everything else, and you have done all, you have served all, you the usher, and everybody just, and they want to sit in your section, because you just make sure everybody, guess what, after all is said and done, if you leave out in middle of the day, you try to catch up on all the filth that you TiVo'd. You DVR. I'll catch it afterwards. I gotta get to church. You get to church and then you leave from church and then you go catch up and you go. See, that's the problem right there, because the Bible tells us that let's not even go to the Bible. Let's just go to regular common sense modern day farming. Amen. If you have a pig farmer and he takes his prized wine and he cleans it up, and if he turns around and goes around the corner, that swine will be back in the mud pit that he just cleaned it up out of. Amen? Huh? And sometimes when we get saved and we get ourselves together, we come out of it, but then we turn around and run right back into the mess. As if we never came out of it. But thank God for Jesus that the blood has efficacious property. Some of y'all need to just put the rest of your life up under the blood. Some of y'all need to go back and get the part of your life that you tried to hold on and hang on to yourself and put that up under the blood. Because the thing that is unclean is the thing that is not dedicated to God. Y'all see that, right? You see that if it's not set aside for him, then it is unclean. So I can't live a mostly saintly life. I have to live a sanctified life. Oh, they don't like this preach. It used to be that we used to say, I'm saying sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. We don't say it anymore. We get up and say, praise the Lord, saints. I'm so happy that the Lord loves me. They don't affirm being saved. They don't affirm being sanctified. Huh? They don't talk about the Holy Spirit because let the Holy Spirit hit you one time too many. Look, let me say this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm going to say that. Just because you practice watching your praise break on YouTube and you got all of those shouts down, don't mean that God is pleased with you when you go into your practice day. I remember back in the day when we used to get up, I know I got some family members and some other people who can testify to this. When you would get up and you thought that you was going to get your shout on, and they knew the mothers and the elders of the church knew you was living the right life, when you got up and thought that you was about to get your shout on because the music was going, da, 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 and there you go. And the first thing they say, baby, sit down, sit down. The ushers will come over and grab you and move you on over to the seat. Isn't it interesting that they used to do it in beat? Clap on the way back. Huh? Because they wouldn't allow us to play with the Holy Spirit. We've come to play with God. And now, any and everybody, they come up in there, we'll look at their shout contest and praise songs, and everybody got a boat. And it's about, what can you do that I didn't do? Oh, I like that. I'm going to get it. I'm coming up with a new bump right now. Okay, wait a minute, hold on. All this practice and fabricated. We have practiced and fabricated the move of God out of being the move of God. Oh, God. Oh, God. So people like myself, we become relics, if you will. And don't fool yourself. When it comes down to it, I'll sit on my hammer right there. A keyboard or whatever else. If I'm not, then I'm giving him my own praise. Amen. But I don't have a problem with that. If you are giving God praise, we will create the environment, the atmosphere for him to get all his glory. But if you just trying to move because you like the sound of it, baby, stop messing with God and go back to the club. And dance to that music. Hello? Because you're not going to fool with God. What is unclean here is that you have people who are feigning that they are really saved and sanctified at that level, but they have not spent any time, or will they take any time to spend with the Lord. They don't want you to tell them about him and about how much time they should be spending. They're upset when you bring up the fact that if you love him, you should love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your being and all your resource and all your ability and all your time. Because they come in and they want to come in and don't preach 1 minute too long. Don't give one more example pass.
Right.
They're ready to move on. Move on, Brad, move on. Why move on? Because I have an appointment after this. I remember we didn't have appointments afterwards. Our appointment afterwards was going over brother or sister, somebody's house who was at the church with us, and we would go over there because we knew that evening when we got back that we was going to have church again. And after church, then we was going home. See, Sunday was an all-day affair. It wasn't 2 hours to let you run to brunch. Amen. See you next week. It was, come in, this is the Lord's day, and we will celebrate him all day today. Today you can't do that because people won't sit there long enough for the Holy Spirit to move. I was sharing with co-pastor Montgomery and Pastor Montgomery, amen, this past weekend. Prophetess was preaching over at New Life Word of Faith.
New Hope.
Word of Faith. And while she was over there, I'm telling you, the power of God came in, and she began to preach, and then the Lord gave to her to lay hands on three people, amen. And the word that she had given, the Lord gave me the extension of that word. So as I began to share with one young man, I began to share with them what the Lord was saying. And then as everyone was shouting and dealing with the others, then I came back to him without the mic, and we had a conversation. And I warned him and reminded him of certain things concerning, because he said, "I got Jesus. I got him. I got him, Doc. I got him." I said, "Okay, if you got him, then how come your path is like it is?" In other words, he is one of these that I'm talking about here. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Amen. He was amongst them, holding hands with them, dealing with them, hanging out with them, tickets with them. He got tied up with them. He got their names and stuff all over him. Wearing their colors. Looking just like them. But yet still, you want us to believe that you got him when nothing about you now looks like him. When the Bible says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate.
Yes, sir.
What it's saying is there should be a difference between how you look and how they look.
Sir.
And when you get saved from being them, there should be a difference between how you act and now look versus how you used to act and look when you were still amongst them. Oh, I got all these tats before I got saved. That's fine.
Right.
But you know what? We shouldn't be listening to the same lingo. We shouldn't hear you pulling up in the church parking lot and beating the same beat, you know, out of your car that you did before. You, that's my jam, Doc. That's my jam. You know, I got to work on me. Why don't you let the Lord work on you? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Oh, God. I wish I could preach just like I feel it. Too often we have people who are making excuses here. And nobody's maturing. We all got excuses.
Yep.
But we have no development. We all got a reason why.
Yes,
but we don't have a maturity. Come out from among them. And be ye separate.
Okay.
And look what he says after that. He said, and I will receive you. If he receives me, then that means that no matter what my problem is when I show up, if I'm walking away from the mess, when I come towards him, the mess will walk away from me. I shared with them, I said, listen, stop trying to get rid of friends so you can get yourself right. Get right with your friends who aren't trying to be right will get rid of you. It's easy because darkness men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are dark. So all you have to do then is simply live the life, and they will back away from you. See, the problem is that you've been trying to find a way that you can separate yourself from the mess that has been your existence, and God's trying to show you if you simply be a light, the darkness that wants to be will make it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two about that is those who are in the dark will find their way out through the light that is in you coming out. I will receive you. And you know what? He'll receive them too. My question to you is, who is still in darkness because the witness of Christ has not been given through you? Well, and just that you be not judged. Drop it. Out of context, what you're saying, in your context, basically what you're saying is, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do me. And only God can tell me that I can't do me. So you disregard this whole Bible because you don't want nobody telling you that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. because when it comes down to your proclivity, you don't want nobody telling you that that's not God's way. You want them to not say anything so you can continue living in that life that you live in. The fallacies that existed, falsehood, non-truth. You want to stay there, and you want people to leave you there and not tell you that it's wrong. But brothers and sisters, I have a burden on me. Amen. When I was called to preach this gospel, I am to cry loud and listen to this. Spare not. That means if it's sin, it's sin. If it was sin yesterday, it's going to be sin today. I don't care what law changes. I don't care what support group. I don't care what lobbyist group gets heard in what court or in what panel committee or whatever. I don't care what the Supreme Court of the land says and how they make a ruling based on the law. After all is said and done, if it's sin, it's sin. It's going to be sin. Our job is not to tell them how to govern based on what they think is right. The Bible already lets us know that there's a way that thinks right unto a man, but the end thereof is death or destruction. The Bible says that every man's ways is right in his own eyes. Amen. If you can't understand what I'm trying to say, before God destroyed the earth back in Genesis, he basically said that man is evil continually from his birth. He grows up thinking and devising evil, and he's just wicked. So the law don't say righteous. The law says legal. You see that? And if it's legal, the law can change it.
No,
I don't understand it. Back before we started having child labor laws and the like, you could go out and marry and have relations with girls and boys who were 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. But after we started coming into some of the human rights, that stuff became outlawed. What was it before then? Legal. See, the law changes as men's hearts and minds change. And that's why we need to have the Word of God on the inside of us. See, what we consider legal clean is not spiritually clean. What we consider right is not necessarily righteousness. When he says come out, he's telling us to come out from among them and be separate, make a difference. People are, a prophetess and I can tell you that there are people that we have dealt with who have lived alternative lifestyles and came to us and said, we want to be free. We prayed for them. We cast out demons and everything else, things that they had done to themselves and through themselves because they were so miserable trying to find something. Amen. And after they got done doing all of that, then here comes relief. Amen. I know one that I'm thinking of. I'm not going to call her name. Amen. But she was living an alternative lifestyle. Got rid of her alternative lover. And then got married to a man. Amen. Huh? And we went down last year or so, I do believe, she's still married. Amen. And when we talked to her, she said, I don't want to be like this. I came over here thinking that it was going to be one way, and I found out it's the same sex, same problem. You think that because man hurts you that you're going to get with a woman because you're tired of men acting up. Well, guess what? Women act up just like men. You thought you were going to leave women because you're tired of being hurt from a woman. Guess what? You get over here, men hurt just like women do. See, you thought you was going to do something different. Not only are you opening up yourself to that, you're just getting yourself deeper and deeper in bondage. Eventually, you have to lie to yourself in order to stay someplace that is not natural. Amen.
But I believe you think this is homophobic. No, I'm not. I'm scripturally correct. This isn't about homophobic. Listen, you can come into this church, you come into this ministry, and you can be any kind of way when you walk in the door. Come in with your drug addiction. Come in selling the drugs. Come in with your alternative lifestyle. You can come in believing some of anything. Come in agnostic. Come in atheist. However you want to come in. I don't care how you come in. Come in, and when this word comes, it's going to challenge you where you are. But the meaning or the base of everything that we will stand and be foundational on is the Word of God. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's move on a little bit here. It says then, and I will receive you. I will be a Father to you. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The problem that many of us have now is that we, in our natural lives, have dysfunctional family relations.
Oh, wow.
You don't know how to deal with a parent because you have fought with your parents. You don't know how to come from a single family, a single parent home, and the parent that's still there has talked down so much about the parent that wasn't there. If it was a male there watching over there, he talked about the fact that the mother wasn't good. If it's a mother that still has the kid, she has talked about the man and talked about the father ain't no good. The child grows up believing that ain't no man good and ain't no woman good. And then they see you, after all, and saying nothing, doing all the hypocritical things that probably ran away the man or the female. Now they can't trust in you. And you wonder why we have problems with authority nowadays. You are the first authority that the child will learn. Huh? They got to listen to mama, listen to daddy. But if mama's word is no good, daddy's word is no good, then how can I trust in anybody else? Dysfunction. Mama's trying to overdo it for the child. The child has no discipline. They basically run the household. Mama's sitting back trying to do everything for the baby. Talking about, well, you know that daddy ain't here. Stop corrupting the child. The Bible says, spare the rod for the child. Well, I ain't never had no. That's why you will mess yourself. Time out. What time out? I used to go over there and time out with my little gang and sit in the corner. That's not time out. That's you be having some quiet time so that you can sit over there and do what you wanted to do anyhow. Time out, if I remember it correctly, was you sat over there. We had time out. It was called the corner. Amen. And mom or dad, mom would say, go over there, get in the corner, and tell us which corner it was. And we had to stand in the corner, you know, facing the wall. And she better not catch you looking out. She would sit on the counter and wait for your head to slightly turn. It better not come all the way around. Lord, help you, Jesus. Amen. Huh? There was times when we acted up. She said, stand in the corner. And we would stand there, and we would lift up one leg and then lift up the other leg. And then eventually we'd get the wife, Mama, can I come out the corner? And she would say, nope. And we said, listen, whatever you did to get in that corner, when you got out that corner, you was trying your best not to get back in there. Nowadays, you better not discipline the kid or tell the kid nothing. The kid is cussing out other people. I'm so sick of looking on social media and people showing all kinds of videos how little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old, cussing out grown parents, smacking the mama and doing everything else. And no discipline. And the parent up there talking about, please, baby, please don't. Oh, come on, baby. Baby, wait a minute. Hold on. There was no, come on, baby. There was, I say it, and I meant it. Huh? But nowadays, they don't do that. There's too much
of them who are not trained instructing those who are trained. See, when you get down to this then, and you're trying to deal with the fact that he said, I will be a father to you. You don't know what a father is. You don't know what a father is supposed to do. You don't know what a father is supposed to act like. You don't know what a father is supposed to look like. And vicariously, you don't know what a father is supposed to look like either. Oh, this is rough here. But this is needful things. If we're going to correct ourselves and get ourselves into proper alignment with God and how God is moving, you have to understand that Jesus spoke of the Father. And the Father was not an absentee. He was not somebody teaching you how to do the craft of our family better. I'm teaching you how to, you know, slang out here. We've been slangers all our second, third generation crip, blood, or whatever it is. We've been out here doing this, and we make our living ripping off people. If you got a good hustle, son, that's going to take care of you and your family. So everybody got to hustle. And when the child learns how to hustle, then they sit back and celebrate the hustle. Huh? So the child won't learn how to do right because a dysfunctional dad or a dysfunctional mom, huh, taught the child how to survive the dysfunction. They begin to repeat the dysfunction then. So then you come to church, hear the word, and hear the word that God will be a father to you. And because you never respected your parents, now you feel you can disrespect God. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us today. Honest the truth anyhow. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to learn how to get back to the place where we can respect God. See, all of this is prerequisite for the next line here. Huh? What is that? And you shall be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. Because we don't understand how parenting works. We lack spiritual understanding here. Which means that we lack an understanding of how to be a son or daughter. I would that we could go back into each one of your lives and find out where or when the dysfunction happened. I wish it were that we could go back and stop it from occurring, or right after it occurred, begin to counsel you and help you so that it did not impact your life the way that it has. So that as you grow up and you begin to deal with others, you don't carry that same problem. Generational curse. Let this sin be upon me and upon my children and my children's children to the third and fourth generation. Some of you are walking around carrying the curse of hard-headed parents. And then you became hard-headed. So now it's not mom and daddy's sin. This is your sin. You have made the mistake of believing that you can walk along and no one can say anything to you. Because in your natural life, that's how you did it. I've been raising myself since I was 13, 14 years old. You say it like it's a badge of honor. Look what I achieved. And after all is said and done, what you actually are saying is, I don't know how to live past 13 or 14 years old. My developmental years are taken away from me. So I don't have the capacity now to think beyond it. You know, you can always tell when someone was hurt and when it impacted their life because you can look at the maturity level. Oh, this is going to get somebody free today. And if you were hurt
at the age of 9, you're still acting like a 9-year-old, even though you're 29. If you were hurt at the age of 18, even though you're 50 years old, you're still acting like an 18-year-old. How can God be your father and you be his son and daughter when you can't respect or honor or even deal with the thought of father? We have spiritual children, and one in particular is always pining after one of his family members, his mother, amen, who has passed away. It wouldn't be a problem, but the relationship before she died was dysfunctional. They didn't get along, fighting and everything else. She died and he crying daily about mama, Miss Mama, Miss Mama. But when mama was here, their relationship wasn't like that. Dysfunction stuck in life. God wants to heal and deliver, and here you are still trying to deal with the fact that mama left and mama died, and I can't get to mama. My question is, sometimes you act like you want to die. And even at that, we found that they had tried at one point to actually die. But God said no. What do you do then when you think that you want to do it one way and God decides, no, I'm going to kill myself. I'm just going to end it all. And God says, no, I have work for you. What do you do when you get to the place where you feel that have come to the end of it and God said, no, you haven't even begun? It is then that God begins to deal with you as the Father. He begins to talk to you. You say, I can't make it. And just like a father comes and assures his child, hey, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I don't know what I'm saying. I say, hey, we're McQueen. We stand up. We rise to the occasion. We don't give up. What are you doing? Come on. Let's get up. Come on. Let's brush your knee off. Yeah. There ain't even nothing on your knee. Man, look at you. You cry for nothing. And finally you look at what should have been hurting and bloody and tore up and find out it didn't even break the skin. See, a father will look at you and then come and get you, reassure you, and leave you to do the task that you originally fell at doing. He's supposed to come and do it for me. No, he's not. Because if he does it, you'll never learn how to do it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, skills and skill sets are passed down from generation to generation. I learned how to do what I did because my father showed me. And his father showed him. Huh? Furniture makers, carpenters, masonry work and all kind of bricklaying and other stuff. I'm not talking about the masons. We're not talking about them. I'm talking about laying bricks. Huh? Talking about learning how to do certain skills and things. That it's within the family, upholstery. You ain't just walking in there and grabbing up the raw material and putting it together right. Somebody got to take you under wing and show you how to keep it together so that 50 years from now it'll still be a nice cushion the same way it was the day that it was made. They need to know how to look at the hides and the skins or whatever it is and tell where there's a problem and what piece they can use for what. And then they don't trust everybody to cut it. You have to learn that. But all of this is taught and passed down through the years. It's something that you will learn or something that you are taught, amen. And you have to learn it and demonstrate proficiency before you're released to do it. Then the Father will take time and
when somebody calls and says, can you come and do this? No, I'm not available, but my son can do it. This is normally where we get real happy here, and we begin to talk about that God the Father has set up Adam in a garden and created, took Eve from his side and set him in the garden and made sure after 7 days he did everything, including create rest in the Sabbath. Amen. And then they messed it up. And he said, listen, I want to go down there to do that and take care of it because, but Satan was a legalist. And he said, no, he said in the day that they sin, they shall surely die. So you have to kill them. And God said, listen, I can't die. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I can't do that. It's not possible. But my son can do it. Through the annals of time, he took and made sure that Jesus came about at the right time to redeem us. What did he redeem us to? He redeemed us back to the Father. I will be your Father. You be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. It is our right as his children to expect great from him. Oh, this is not a hoopla today, but it is a taught and understood that God has done some great things for us. Amen? Amen? God has done some great things for us. But we got to get ourselves together. Amen? He's making us. And we got to allow him to make us come out from amongst them. He's messing up your build. Amen? Contaminating what God is doing. And allow him to do the work on the inside of you so that the outside of you will be observed by many and they can glorify God. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray. Maybe you need to know who this Jesus is. Maybe you need to know him as your Lord and Savior. Those of you who are watching, those of you who are listening, I said if you want to be saved, you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a part of your sin, simply pray this prayer with us. Father, forgive us of our sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you pray that prayer, I pray that God leads you to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where you can be matured and go on to do the work that God has called you to do. I pray even more so for those who need miracle signs and wonders in your life, that the hand of God will move upon you. I pray right now that the angels of the Lord are released so that you can get what you need from him, whether it's deliverance, whether it's resources, whether it's miracles, signs and wonders, they're coming, healing now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Listen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. I ask that you go to our website at www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. We have sons and daughters and missions and churches, orphanages, and schools in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, up in Pakistan, amen, and those who are constantly asking us for help and to be a blessing. But we can be a greater help and a greater blessing if we have you as our vision partner. I ask that you pray and ask God for what you can do to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Click one of the donate buttons and sow into this ministry. And while you're doing that, drop a memo to let us know what this is. This ministry is meant to you. We're so appreciative of those who have already done so, and we look forward to hearing from you even now. As I said before, I'm Apostle McQueen, and I want you to know that this is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.